it's our second seminar. Our speaker today is Matthias Beigelberg, and let us say some words about Matthias. So he is a professor at the University of Vienna since 2018. From 2015 to 2018, he was a full professor at the Vienna University of Technology. He studied mathematics at Vienna University of Technology and obtained his PhD under the supervision of Reinhard Winkler. And he completed his habilitation at the University of Vienna in 2010. As a postdoctoral researcher, he worked, for example, with Walter Schachermeyer. He worked in Berkeley and at the University of Bonn. The research of Matthias is in probability theory with an emphasis on stochastic process theory, including theoretical results of martingale theory, optimal transport problems, and applications to stochastic finance. Matthias received several prizes, for example, the Start Prize of the Austrian Science
Good
Foundation in
afternoon to
2000.
all.
Sorry? For example, the Start Prize of the Austrian Science Foundation in 2014, and he was the principal investigator of several research projects. Today, Matthias will speak about the martingale Benamo brain
Hello,
hair
Shiga.
problem. Is there some problem? Okay. Rainer, your micro is still open. Okay, good. Okay, so I will hand over to Matthias. Please.
Okay, thanks a lot for this kind invitation. During this talk, please ask questions as much as possible. Yeah. So the more questions I ask, you ask, the less I will feel alone. And also, will be writing on my iPad, so I should be able to respond as usefully as I can. So in the start, I want to say this is from, I will talk mainly about two joint papers with Julio Backhoff, Martin Husman, and Sigrid Kelblatt, and more recently also another paper with Julio, Walter Schachermeyer, and our PhD student Bertram Tschirara. So one is from 2020, and the other one will hopefully appear in not too distant future. And I should say that we will study this problem very much from a probabilistic perspective. Independently, this has also been discovered more from a PDD perspective by Grégoire Loper and from a modeling perspective by Kans and Henri Lavoisier. So one big question which I've been interested in the last years is, assume that we are given probability measures mu and nu on RD. What is a natural way to connect these two measures using a martingale? Yeah, so optimal transport would ask, find any natural connection between a measure mu and a measure nu, but I want to do this with a martingale. So I'm looking for a martingale which at time zero is distributed like mu, and at time one it is distributed according to mu. And we will later see applications of this, but primarily what I would be curious in is what is the natural way of connecting two probability measures with a martingale. Yeah, so in a sense, this goes back to Strassen, who in And also in parallel, Meyer, who gave criteria when there are such martingales. Yeah, so what Strassen proved is there exists a martingale in two time steps or continuous time, it doesn't matter. There exists a martingale which starts in nu and which ends in nu if and only if these probability measures mu are in convex order, mu and nu are in convex order. So if and only if we have that nu is less or equal in convex order than nu, meaning that for all convex functions psi, we would have that integral of psi d nu is less or equal than integral of psi d nu. And in this equivalence, that convexity is a necessary assumption. This is immediate consequence of the Jensen inequality. And the other part is actually not so trivial in RD and in particular. So in the end, Strassen proves it using Hahn-Banach. Yeah, so in particular, the proof that Strassen gives is not constructive. Yeah, so he's just saying there are such martingales, but he's not building such a martingale. And the purpose of my talk is very much about doing this direction that there exist martingales, but we try to find as much as possible a martingale which has a lot of structure, which is which feels like being a natural martingale. And I mean, in the end, I will also talk. Someone can certainly discuss what would be a natural martingale here. And in the end, I will discuss what could also be other candidates. Yeah, for now, I want to develop some intuition in about what we think what should be a natural martingale. So we start with the question, what can we mean by what is a natural martingale? And I guess something which is very easy to agree upon is that, of course, Brownian motion is a very natural martingale. So if we are in this case that at time zero, we start in the Dirac measure and the target measure, nu is just a Gaussian measure, standard Gaussian, then a very natural choice would be to say our martingale M is Brownian motion, yeah. So during this whole talk, I will always be interested in time-continuous martingales, yeah? And of course, they will give you also discrete martingales if you restrict to the initial and terminal distribution. Also, if mu is some general measure alpha, and mu happens to be just a convolution of alpha with the Gaussian, then still we would say that m equal to Brownian motion, but with B0 distributed according to alpha, this again I would consider as a natural martingale. Yeah? Okay, but of course, I cannot connect any two arbitrary measures with just Brownian motion. So the next case I want to consider is we start in a Dirac, and we assume that nu is a measure on R, which is centered. And the question is, can we find a martingale which is similar to being a Brownian motion, which again connects this Dirac zero with the measure, with this general measure mu? And here a quite nice construction was given by Richard Bass. So what Bass is, so I think what he's thinking about is, we have on the one hand a picture where we see just usual Brownian motion, and we want to manipulate this Brownian motion to a process M which has a specified target. Yeah, so maybe we have our measures gamma and nu here, and what we want to do is we want to manipulate the Brownian motion and stretch it a bit so that it becomes this martingale M. And a way to do this is to pick the mapping F, which pushes the measure gamma to the measure nu. So what Bass says is there exists a unique increasing function F such that F pushes the Gaussian to the measure mu. And then, in particular, what this will mean is that Brownian motion at time one is transformed into something which is distributed according to the measure mu. And building on this F, he defines the martingale backwards in time simply by conditioning. So the very simple definition is MT is the conditional expectation of F of B1 given the filtration which we have seen. We have filtration of Brownian motion. Yeah, so any Brownian martingale is of course a continuous martingale, and actually you can do this very explicitly. Yeah? So if you rewrite this a bit, this is F of B1. This is F of you can write this is F BT plus B1 minus BT conditioned to FT. And of course, this part B1 minus BT, this is distributed like a Gaussian with variance 1 minus T. So we can write down this conditional expectation very explicitly as F convoluted with Gaussian, then applied to BT. Yeah, and from this you easily see that this is really a nice continuous Markov martingale. Yeah, and so if this mapping F was continuous, then the mapping FT, which I take to be this convolution, yeah, this is again going to be a nice increasing mapping. Yeah, so really. At intermediate time points, we just stretch this Brownian motion a tiny little bit, so it becomes this martingale M. So in a way, I think this is still as natural as you can imagine way of connecting. Zero, the Dirac zero with an arbitrary measure mu. And the question is, can we make this notion, can we make this idea of fast more general? Yeah. And
Why is the function f non-decreasing, or is it, did you assume that it's increasing? Why is it needed?
yeah, it's not needed, but we right in the beginning. So Bass is also doing this. Bass is makes it, he wants to make it unique by choosing the unique increasing function,
Okay,
which
thank you.
not new, yeah. And I mean also, so I mean, you know, from a transport perspective, this function, this increasing function f, this would be the cheapest transport from the Gaussian to the measure mu. So we could hope that in a way, this is also going to be the martingale, which is as close as possible to Brownian motion, subject to the condition that yeah, we are similar to mu. Yeah, but so far you're completely right. You can do this construction with an arbitrary F, but this is going to make it unique, and it will force that the martingale M looks as much as possible to like Brownian motion.
Thank you.
Okay, so obvious or easy extensions this could be, of course. So you could also do, you could start Brownian motion in some arbitrary measure alpha. You can take this alpha to be a measure on RD. And again, you can define MT as expectation of, and what one wants to put here now is, okay, f was an increasing function, and what one wants to do in higher dimensions is to say increasing can mean being the gradient of a convex function. Yeah. So instead of an increasing function in R1, in RD, who would put the gradient of some convex potential. Yeah, so it's going to be some convex function, and we apply a gradient of this convex function to be one, and again, we just condition with respect to this Brownian motion, and once again, what we get is that we get some nice continuous Markov martingale, yeah, which can be in, written this very explicit form in terms of the gradient of V, yeah. Okay, the question we were stuck on for a very long time is how general is this construction? Yeah, so of course this will give you many martingales in RD, but the question we were stuck with for a long time is with this construction will you be able to obtain so many martingales that you can connect arbitrary measures nu and nu? Yeah, and yeah, if you try to do this in any explicit way, yeah, we were not very successful, yeah. So our approach to finding such a natural martingale was then more switching to optimization problems, and in particular to Benamou-Prenier type optimization problem. And for this, I want to briefly recap this Benamou-Prenier construction in optimal transport, but I want to tell the story in a probabilistic way. Yeah, so Benamou-Prenier is extremely natural and useful construction in optimal transport. What Benamou-Prenier asks is similar to our question. We have probabilities nu and nu, and we look for a process which connects them. And the picture we have is we are going to move particles. In the end, it turns out they will move along straight lines. And we look for the cheapest way of moving all nu particles to the position of nu. And we optimize over, in our language, over all stochastic processes, which are given by some ODE of this form. And what we want to optimize over is expectation of the average speed. Yeah, so meaning you want to somehow transport with some minimal energy from nu to nu. And it turns out that this minimization problem, it has a unique solution as soon as nu is continuous. And yeah, particles move along straight lines, and also the optimizer is going to be described through the gradient of convex function. Yeah. So very briefly, this is what is happening by optimal in classical optimal transport, and what we consider is a martingale version of this. Yeah, so for us, again, we have these measures mu and nu, but we think that our particles will diffuse using some martingale. So formally, what we look at is a minimization problem, which we again start in mu, we constrain it to end in nu, and we ask that we want to have a martingale, so there is no drift term, but instead of a drift, we want to have some volatility. And what we want to control. And it turns out that yeah, one would like to put here the Hilbert-Schmidt norm, and this would be the direct analog of the Penain-Poincaré thing. But it turns out that if you do this just with the square, then it's actually the same for all volatilities. This would be just the difference of second moments, yeah. But a different way to interpret Penain-Poincaré is to say, actually, we just want to be the volatility to be, we want the velocity to be as constant as possible. Yeah. So for each constant, this will give you the same solution. And if we do this below, if we say sigma minus identity, yeah, or we could also say sigma minus a constant times the identity could be our metric. Then this turns out to be a good analog, yeah. So what I want, the way I want to view this is, what this is supposed to mean is M should have volatility as close as possible to Brownian motion. Okay, so this is the minimization problem which we start with. And what we end up proving is the following. So assume that mu nu, our probability is on RD. We assume that they have finite second moment. And they are in convex order. Then it follows this minimization problem has a unique minimizer. Again, this M star is a strong Markov martingale. It turns out that M solves this Martingale-Penain-Poincaré problem if and only if it is such a Bass martingale. Yeah, so to remind you, Bass martingale means M can be written as a conditional expectation of gradient of some convex function and conditioned backwards in time. So in particular, we get the corollary. For any mu nu, which are in convex order and have a finite second moment, there exists a unique Bass martingale with which starts in mu and which terminates in mu. Yeah. So this is very much like in optimal transport when Poincaré's theorem tells you you can connect any probabilities with the gradient of a convex function. Also, there, proving that you have such a gradient of a convex function which connects two probability measures cannot be done explicitly, but it's done indirectly over an optimization problem. And this turned out, yeah, was the same for us. I want to make some remarks, consequences of this, or what one can do here. First of all, in classical transport, due to the work of McCann, transport plans give you a very natural ways of interpolating between two measures, yeah? And in particular, in a time-consistent way. Our bus Martingale allows us to define such time-consistent interpolations. Yeah, so what I mean with time consistent is that if you interpolate between 0 and 1, and then you cut that time 1/2, and you look at the interpolation between 0 and 1/2, you will get the same interpolation you had if you looked at the long martingale. Yeah, so it's giving you some natural trajectories between probability measures. It also turns out that this solves other related optimization problems. So, solves, for instance, an optimization problem which says minimize over all martingales, don't even have to be continuous, minimize over all martingales which satisfy these boundary conditions, and minimize what is called adapted Wasserstand distance between the Martingale M and Brownian motion. Yeah, so Wasserstand distance is, of course, this favorite transport distance. Adapted Wasserstand distance is a version which is in some respects better for stochastic processes. And you can formulate this in purely abstract terms. Yes, there's no volatility appearing a priori. But again, if you minimize the adapted Wasserstand distance between the martingale and the Brownian motion, then you end up with this bus martingale. So even yeah, so in the problem which I discussed before, it looks maybe like we impose some regularity from the beginning. But even if you don't do this, you will end up with the same optimizer. And a particular finance application. This was very much put forward by Kons and Henri Lavader. Is you can define a so-called what they call bus local volatility model. So in finance. You think that you consider some stock price process, and you think that at intermediate times you know the prices of some European options, and they will give you the intermediate distributions under the pricing measure of the process you consider. And the goal you will then have in math finance is to construct continuous martingales which interpolate these given distributions. And of course, what you can do is you can interpolate always between any two measures with a stretch Brownian motion with this bus martingale which we defined here. And in this way, you obtain a continuous martingale which meets these prices, and it turns out that it's also numerically extremely efficient. Yeah, so a much more classical way to do this would be to look at the pure local volatility model, which where you would first interpolate a continuum of marginals, and then look at some yeah through some PD to determine a model which interpolates them. And turns out that in the limits, this bus local volatility model would do the same, but numerically it's much simpler and faster to implement, as noted by Kons and Henri Lavader, and more recently, mathematically rigorous linear convergence of such algorithms is also proved by Beatrice Acciaio and Marini and Goodman-Bauer. One further application which I want to note is versions of Kellerer's theorem. So Kellerer is a classic theorem which says which is similar to the Bass local volatility model, yeah, except that you want to you have given a continuum of marginal measures. And Kellerer's goal was to connect them by a Markov martingale, and it turns out that Markov for a continuum of marginals, this is actually quite difficult. So Kellerer did this, but only in one dimension. And to extend this to higher dimensions is turns out to be a difficult problem, and mainly because it's very hard in higher dimensions to construct kernels which do just one step and have nice properties. And it turns out that yeah, this Bass martingale in higher dimensions is a nice and useful step for doing this. And this is in work of Ben Robinson and Gudmund Hammer and Walter Schachermeyer that they use this to extend to derive a version of Kellerer's theorem also in arbitrary dimensions. Based on this Bass martingale, yeah. Yeah, so this is the main results I wanted to present. Next, I would go on and maybe tell you something about the proof and what is difficult about the proof. Maybe this is a good point to ask questions. Yeah, but
I
it
have one question. Could you explain this time consistency in this interpolation once more? To what extent do you have a self-similarity in this construction? This was one of your remarks.
yeah. If mu1, mu0, mu1, we have our martingale M, and we would then define mu t. Would be defined as the intermediate distribution, so the law of this MT. Then, if you once again do this construction between, yeah, then you would obtain exactly as you say something which is self-similar in the sense that you just reproduce what the other marking, what the original Bass martingale is doing between mu zero and mu t. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And then another question, then I'll stop. Is there an interpretation of this function V of this potential? So some geometric property of this V function you get in the part three of your theorem.
We should think, so this is coming very much from, one should think about a related transport problem. So in optimal transport, there is this, I mean, the static version of the minimal Poincaré transport problem is minimize over couplings of probability measures mu and nu, and minimize integral of x minus y squared dq. And if we have enough regularity, what we would think is we just minimize over mappings which push mu to mu, and we just minimize over t of x minus x. And the Poincaré theorem says, yeah, so this is, means in some quadratic sense, minimize the costs of mu, moving mu to mu. And the optimizer of this in one dimension is going to be take t to be an increasing function. And in higher dimensions, what it would be is you're optimal if and only if t is the gradient of a convex function. Yeah, so this is where we think that this is coming from. More specifically, we would be interested, we would be looking at the measures nu and gamma. So, oh, the wrong one.
Yes, thank you. Yep.
Yeah, so before when I was talking about the best construction, yeah, it is the intuition behind this gradient of V is, yeah, we want to do to move this in an optimal way. And it fits together with, yeah, the other problem was we minimize the distance to Brownian motion. And in particular, this means in the at the last marginal, we want to apply a mapping which is optimal in the transport sense. And this would mean, yeah, you should use the gradient of a convex function.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much for the questions. Yeah. Okay, so actually, in the case where mu is a Dirac measure, then the proof is very much like the proof of Poincaré's theorem between the Gaussian and the measure mu. Yeah, so this is very much taking care of, sorry, the case where you have a Dirac measure, yeah. Yeah, I also want to say that in our main theorem, by far the hardest part is the implication that if you solve the optimization problem, then you are a Bass martingale, yeah. So we wrote two papers, and the first paper is 20 pages, and it has everything except this implication. And the second paper is 40 pages, and it's just doing this implication. Yeah, so really everything else is smooth, but this implication, yeah, this took us some years and some quite a bit of pages to work out. Yeah, and one reason which at first looks just technical, but it's actually not so easy, is that there is a complication with not communicating components. Yeah. So a problem is in usual optimal transport, you can always move from everywhere to everywhere just by you looking at an independent coupling. If we are looking at martingales, then maybe we are in a simple situation where mu consists just of two Dirac measures, and mu consists of two uniform distributions. But if this upper uniform distribution is centered in this atom and the lower is centered in this atom and they are separated, and it's easy to see that all martingales will just move the upper atom to the upper atom and they will move the lower atom to the lower atom. Yeah. So actually, in this situation, our theorem is not true. And there is no Bass martingale because Bass martingales, they look like Brownian motion. This means they always move mass from everywhere to everywhere. So in this situation, actually, I was cheating in my formulation. What I should say is everything is decomposing into two components, and on each component, theorem holds true, but in general, it cannot be true. Yeah. So actually, what we should assume is something like irreducibility. Irreducibility means irreducibility, I should say, of the pair mu nu should mean whenever I have a set A which has positive probability and I have a set B which has positive probability with respect to mu, Then there exists some martingale M, which is moving mass from A to B. Yeah, such that the probability that we start in A and we end in B is positive, yeah. So this measures mu and sets A and B, and for all A B at least a negligible and a not negligible proportion of paths should be for some martingale should be able to move from A to B, yeah. So if we have a bus martingale, then it's easy to see that because it looks like Brownian in motion, it's automatically doing this for all such sets A and B. So it's definitely a necessary condition that for any AB you can find some martingale which is connecting them, yeah. So one thing you want to assume is irreducibility, yeah, and irreducibility is actually in one dimension it's relatively easy, and this was already done by Hobson many years ago. And in one dimension our theorem is easy to prove because exactly because you can because this irreducible components are something which works very easily, yeah? In higher dimensions it starts to get much more complicated. And the reason is that it can happen that on the whole, one looks at an irreducible problem, but some martingales are restricting themselves to smaller components, yeah? So it could be that in higher dimensions, some martingales connect everything, but other martingales do not connect sets. Yeah, so we can draw nice examples of that. Yeah, and somehow it's difficult to understand what your optimizer is doing in terms of components. And what we ended up with is we found some reformulation of our problem, which has a nice dual formulation, and this dual formulation in the end was the key. So I just want to quickly present this alternative formulation. So an alternative formulation would be so another way of looking similar to Brownian motion would be to say have a volatility which is there is some Jensen arguments why this is intuitive, but we want to have a volatility which is as constant as possible, and it turns out that means that the volatility should be on average as large as possible, or in higher dimensions the trace should be as large as possible. And it turns out this has a dual formulation. Yeah, this is related to the so-called weak optimal transport problem, which was invented by Martel Gosselin. Yeah, so this is some kind of non-linear transport problem. So it turns out that our optimization problem is related to such a dual optimization problem, and this dual optimization problem has a minimizer psi optimal, which exists if and only if we are in this irreducible setting. And in this case, the The function, this convex potential V, which defines the Bass martingale, is just the Legendre transform of this optimizer. Yeah. So this optimal Bass martingale is really just expectation of gradient of the Legendre transform of this psi optimal of the dual problem. And yeah, if you know more about atomic transport and Poincaré's theorem, this is also very much what's happening there, that you look at the proper dual problem, and then this proper dual problem gives you directly the potential, which gives you then the solution of the transport problem. Yeah? And yeah, the technical difficulties are very much in showing that indeed, if you are irreducible, then you can pass to an optimizer. Yeah, so usually I would think that showing that some optimization problem admits that some infimum or supremum is attained is yeah, just some technical work which is doable. Here it was technical work, but it really took us some years to do it. Okay, this is all I wanted to say. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for this very nice talk. I'd like to